Y'all know I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. If you've ever seen me on stage, you know this about me. However, there is only one person who, when they're talking about politics, I trust them. And that is Rachel Maddow. And the reason why I trust Rachel Maddow and nobody else is because this is a bitch that cites her sources and actually tries to find out whether or not the story she's telling is the accurate story. If you've ever seen a Rachel Maddow show, you know that she does this thing where whenever she sets up a story or gives the details of something that happened, whenever a guest comes on her show who's involved in whatever it is she's talking about, she asks them, did I fuck up any of that? Did I say anything that was wrong? Was anything inconsistent with what you know of the story since you're on the front lines of this particular whatever it is? I love that. I don't want to have to guess whether or not the person who I'm listening to is telling the truth. And so Rachel takes all the work out of that. Another reason I love that is because if you have a person who's filling in bits and pieces and stuff, and they're giving you empirical evidence and they're citing sources and shit like that, now you know where to go if you have more questions about what the shit was that she just said. So she says, today in political news, Donald Trump did such and such thing according to the Washington Post. Now know where to go to find out more information. I need to take my ass to the Washington Post. The reason why I've decided to record this particular show was because I saw this shit live. What you're about to hear is some shit I saw live because they videotaped it, or not videotaped, they broadcast it, and it was playing on the internet. I saw it on Twitter. And it was the downfall of Michael Bloomberg. He thought he was going to be able to buy his way into the campaign, and he is one of the architects of Stop and Frisk, along with Rudy Giuliani, and he said he felt bad about it and all that type of shit, and cool. I'm glad you feel bad about it. Your ass should feel bad about it, because that was nothing more than racial profiling, broken windows policing, that type of bullshit. Fuck Mayor. Fuck Bloomberg. I could give a fuck about him. Fuck him. But I did want to, I put it like this. On Facebook the other day, I had a post. And in that post, I said, for years, Mayor Bloomberg, I don't know if he was mayor or governor. I don't, because I don't keep up with his ass. But I put Michael Bloomberg. I put something like this. I don't know if this is exact wording, but I know it was something like this. Irony is Michael Bloomberg humiliating black and brown men in New York City for years with that stop and frisk, just to pay $500 million to be humiliated in front of the world. And by that, I wasn't talking about that shit with Elizabeth Warren. But she humiliated his motherfucking ass. That shit on that debate stage, but with the non-disclosure agreements and the stop and frisk and all, she obliterated his motherfucking ass. But that's not the embarrassment I was talking about. That's part of it. The embarrassment I'm talking about happened in the South. It was what I, because see, I didn't get to see all of Elizabeth Warren because I wasn't looking at TV that night. I had to work that night. I just saw the highlights. But the shit at Brown AME, I saw that whole shit. It was one of the most excruciating experiences I have ever witnessed in my life that wasn't happening to me personally. It happened to Bloomberg. And I watching it won't do the same as listening to an MSNBC contributor, her name is Joy Reid, listening to her tell the story, because she was there. And I watched this shit on video, and it is exactly the way that she describes it. And I just wanted to play it for you so you can know why I keep saying Bloomberg was humiliated around the world, because he was. If I didn't hate him so much, I would have cheered it. I wouldn't want to see this happen to nobody except for Bloomberg and except for Trump. Shit like this, I wish something like this had happened to Trump. But anyway, let me give the floor to Ms. Reid.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about trying to take out Joe Biden, if you have to think about Joe Biden as being like Coca-Cola, right? So if I have Coca-Cola and you make a soda, I still have Coca-Cola. It's very difficult to change that brand. Biden has a known brand, particularly to the voters who really handed it to him tonight, which is black voters. They know who he is. He's Barack Obama's VP. And I now, as I'm thinking about just talking to a lot of black voters, particularly in southern states over the last, and in Indiana and places that I've just been running around for the last couple of months, Biden is who they wanted originally. Biden was the, was what they were going to go with. Then he got shaky.
He faltered.
He started to seem maybe it won't work. And then I started hearing repeatedly, we're going to have to go to Bloomberg. I mean, black voters, and I've said this before, are, you know, they are very clinical about it. They just want to win. They want Trump gone. That is all, that's what they want. And Biden was who they wanted because he is, he's a loyal second to Barack Obama. Full stop. But then when he looked shaky, they're like, we'll go to Bloomberg. Then Warren iced him. I mean, she ethered him. She finished him. It was kind of a murder-suicide because it didn't help her.
It did not.
But it ended him. And then when that happened, they went, okay. So now I just was down in South Carolina in Selma, and there was a scene inside of Brown Chapel AME that told me Biden's going to sweep the South. I mean, I knew he'd probably win the southern states, but I after that night, I was like, oh, he's going to not just win, he's going to sweep. Biden is inside Brown AME, Brown Chapel AME, which is this revered church. You don't get on the pulpit. You don't get on the dais in a church like that.
Slow down. Tell the story with as much detail as possible. I've never heard a more fascinating story.
Well, so Brown Chapel is where the march that went across the Edmund Pettus Bridge started. It's where they organized. You know, in the civil rights era, black voters organized in churches. That's why churches got firebombed, right? That's why the 16th Street Baptist Church got firebombed. It's why those, when Goodman, Schwerner, and Cheney were killed, they were organizing voters in a church that they were trying to then investigate the firebombing of it. That's why they were there, right? So churches are where black voters always organize. Brown Chapel AME is revered in that sense. So Brown Chapel AME is where they do this ceremony to start off the commemoration of the march over the Edmund Pettus Bridge. It starts with a service in there. We're in that church. Now, the way that black churches work, you have to be invited to sit on the dais. Family sits on the dais. The pastor sits on the dais. Pastor's family, people the pastor says can be up there. Biden was up there. Mm. Bloomberg was sitting in the audience. He's stuck in the audience having to sit there and watch person after person stand up on that church. I mean, Reverend Sharpton was on the dais. That makes sense. Terry Sewell, who's the Alabama congresswoman, that's her home church. She gets up and says, basically, this is Biden country. This is Biden's home. Biden gets to speak from the pulpit. Bloomberg does, too, but he's in the audience. He's stuck there having to grimace and watch everyone laud this other person, laud this other candidate. He couldn't even leave because he would have had to cross across the pulpit and leave. It would have been completely disrespectful. So he's sitting there just grimacing. I'm mostly watching his face as he's just miserable. And when he finally gets up to speak, after really being laid into by the pastor for his policies against black people, stop and frisk, things like that, people turn their back on him in the church. That doesn't happen in churches. These are formal. AME is a formal kind of church. When Biden gets up, nothing but love. Mm. He gets up and speaks. He turns to Reverend Sharp and he says, you remember this and that, Rev? Pastor, you know we go back. He's got relationships. Bloomberg just had money. And when we got out onto the Edmund Pettus Bridge, Bloomberg was booed. He was heckled. People were chanting stop and frisk. People weren't exactly eager to march next to him. This revered moment when Biden had left, he wasn't even marching. People who were already out, Pete Buttigieg marched, Amy Klobuchar marched, Elizabeth Warren marched, all these other people, but it was still Biden's home. And that means, that told me, Biden's going to win the whole South.
And indeed, he not only has won it, he's won it resoundingly.
Yeah, black voters said, you know what, that's nice, you want a revolution? The answer, no.
There's the scene Joy Reid's been talking about.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I told you niggas that was going to happen a long ass time ago. The whole Joe Biden sweeping the South thing, I told y'all that before it happened. If memory serves me correctly, I put some shit up like, all of this is cute. I was talking about Iowa, New Hampshire. All of this is cute. Wake me up when they get to South Carolina. Wake me up when they get to the South. That was like something I put on Facebook. And I meant it because I'm not a smart person. I don't know too much shit. But one thing I do know is black folks. The other thing I know is the motherfucking South. And I knew they was going to go over his ass. Months ago, I said, look, what y'all are failing to, because everybody thought Bernie was going to sweep everything. What y'all are failing to realize is that not everywhere in the United States has internet. So all these 17, 18, 19, 20 candidates, not everybody know these motherfuckers. The South is going to go with who they know. Black folks are going to go with who they know. Goddamn Joe Biden be subservient to a black man for 4 years. Who else in the candidates can say that they've done that except for the people who are black candidates? You get what I'm saying? Now, the vote on black folks' vote was divided in the beginning when there was Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and Julian Castro and all these type of people. But as the DNC kept weeding out all the niggas, we had to go somewhere. So a lot of people said, fuck it, we know Joe. He might not be the best. He don't even speak complete sentences correctly. But we know that motherfucker. And he was loyal to Barack Obama, so we're going to be loyal to him. Fuck a Michael Bloomberg. Now, Joe, to me, represents the most mediocre white man I have ever seen. But we went with him anyway. And the reason why we had to go with him is because mediocre white men can make all the mistakes that they want, and they won't be stuck to them. Any other candidate on that stage, if they make a mistake, it's going to stick to them. They don't stick to white men. Say what you want. You can call it racist or whatever. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just the messenger, baby. Don't hurt the messenger. I'm just telling you how shit is. There's no way Joe Biden should be standing on that stage, or no way he should be the front runner in any of this right now. There were some brilliant motherfuckers in the running. But everybody took their little sides, and now we stuck with the old-ass white man that had the heart attack and won't release his medical records, or the old-ass white man who, what is his problem? Can't even make a complete sentence. It was one or the other. I know the South. I tried to tell y'all motherfuckers. Now, this don't mean that Joe Biden gonna win it doesn't mean he's gonna win and move on to the general election. But he has strong support. I don't want to start talking about Bernie, because as far as I'm concerned, he is closer to what I would like to see as far as policies. But how the fuck do you do that when you tell the Republicans, I'm tearing down a Republican establishment? Then you fuck around and say, I'm going to. These are the motherfuckers whose vote you're courting. Why would you say some ignorant ass shit like that? He say shit like that, not realizing that the candidates who drop out the race, he's going to want those voters. Well, if you're telling them that that you're going to tear down their establishment, why the fuck would they vote for you? It's very, very simple. He just, the whole shit was ill thought out. The motherfucker had 4 years to try to get other people to give an olive branch to other motherfuckers in the Democratic Party, let them know what his plans were. Him on his side. 4 years. And still didn't do the shit. The motherfucker had 4 years to take his motherfucking ass down to the South and people just like everybody else. He decided not to. In fact, not only did he not take his ass to the South to pander, he had a rally scheduled for Mississippi. He canceled that to go do some shit in Michigan. Now, what are you telling those voters you could have had in Mississippi? You just up and left on them. I had the shit planned already, and then say, fuck it, I'm going to Michigan. What is the message that you're sending to those Mississippi voters? In any case, I don't get me started. I'm not voting in the primary. I'm an independent. Independents can vote for an independent candidate in the primary. I don't think that Oregon has any on the ballot. So I will be voting in the general election. I will be voting blue no matter who. I don't give a fuck who it is. Like I said on Facebook, I don't give a fuck if it's a piece of old peach cobbler that's molded and rotted in your refrigerator, that's been in your refrigerator so long it turns sentient and starts talking and runs for president. I will vote for that over motherfucking Donald Trump. Fuck that nigga. Okay? In any case, I'm going to get on out of here. I just wanted to share that shit, that Joy Reid shit with you. I love me some Joy Reid. I still don't watch her show yet, though I probably should. But the reason I don't watch her show is because I don't want to spend my week consumed in politics. I'll give an hour to Rachel every night on the weeknights. But that's it. That's as much politics as I can. And then the other reason why I'm glad, or I hope to God, that Donald Trump gets voted out of office is so that I don't have to talk about politics anymore. There's no president we've ever had that forced me to talk about politics the way I do right now. I talked about George Bush maybe 8 times during his presidency. I talked about Barack Obama maybe 5 times. The tan suit, the White House correspondence, then, you know, shit like that. I have to talk about Trump every motherfucking week. Something else happens. There's a new low in the presidency, and I have to talk about the shit. So I'm just, more than anything, I want to go back to just joke time. I want to go back to telling jokes and doing the podcast the way I used to do it. I'm tired of thinking about politics. And the election, it don't help that the election season is goddamn 3 years long. The motherfucker in office for a year and we talking about the next president for the next 3 years until we elect a motherfucker is just too damn long. Now, I do agree that it need to be longer than the UK season. They have a 6-week season and the shit is over with. They have they do all this. I don't know if they have primaries or not, but they do all of the election shit in 6 weeks. The reason I'm glad we don't do it that short is because 6 weeks ain't long enough to really vet your candidates, especially if you have 17 on the stage like we did this year. In any case, if you want to get my vote, whichever candidate do this shit will get my vote. Not just this election, any election. Or if she run herself. Stacey Abrams is on motherfucking fire right now. If this bitch run for president, I will vote for her ass for president. If she becomes somebody's VP candidate and it's before the primaries, I will switch to Democrat and vote for that motherfucker. Okay? Stacey's on fire. She's a whole different podcast that ain't got time to do it right now because I want to put this one out tonight. So, any case, get in touch with the show. Let me know what you're thinking. You can hit me up on Facebook. You can go to the page, The Great Divide, Facebook page, and say what's up and see all the shit that I'm going to be putting on there. You can call the voicemail line, 541-357-7585. Messages need to be 2 minutes or less or the machine will cut you off. So keep it brief. Or you can hit me up at feedback at thegreatdivide.us with anything you want to say to the show, and we'll read it on the feedback show. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review on iTunes. I also read those on the show. In any case, till next time, I'll catch you on the flip side.